This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
And sports on a Saturday morning, a longtime tradition here at WRMJ, signing on in 1979. We have flipped the calendar to May, and the 2023-24 high school sports season is starting to wind down. Of course, conference track meets taking place. We had some of that last night. We'll talk to Emily Baldwin a bit later in the program this morning. The Mercer County Golden Eagle boys program, they win the LTC boys track title, final year in the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament. So they go our final year in the Lincoln Trail Conference. They go out on top in track. I think the girls finished second last night. Also, last night in girls track, the Three Rivers Conference track meet. Did I see that right? As we bring in Ty Taylor, basically Sherrard doubled up kind of the field. Yeah. The nearest team finished 76 points behind them. They scored like
75 and a half.
Yeah. So, holy smokes, what an unbelievable run by Todd Volker in that program. And I know, you know, we've talked about the streak a lot with the Rockridge softball program and what they have accomplished. And I don't know if it's fair to say a little bit under the radar, but I don't know how many conference track meets Sherrard has won overall since Coach Volkert has been there. But what is this, their fourth?
Fourth in a row.
In a row. Yeah, and when you talk about the number of teams in the track, what are there, 14 or 15 teams? And
13 teams.
And they just dominated. And they dominate every year. So a tip of the cap to Todd Volkert piecing that thing together every year and getting points like that. So.
Well, yeah, there's 17 events, you know, and I think we talked to them a couple weeks ago. They have 24 kids out. They score 156 points. Bureau Valley and Princeton tied for second, each scoring 80 and a half. So like you said, 75 and a half point margin of victory in the conference track meet is just really impressive. They had seven conference championship events. We can go through those really quickly. They won in the 800 with Beth Churchill, in the 1600 Madison Mathis. They won all four relays. Their 4x100 meter relay team is Cammie Anderson, Eliza Dominique, Kelsey Doonan, and Lillian Russell. Their 4x200 meter relay team consists of Anderson, Mackenzie Locke, Doonan, and Dominique. The 4x400 meter relay team is Anderson, Churchill, Evelyn Weekly, and Dominique. And then their 4x800 meter relay team is Churchill, Weekly, Mathis, and then Anna Churchill a part of that as well. They also took first place in the pole vault with Eliza Dominique. So, yeah, seven winners of the 17 events, and a really impressive run again for them this year. And the thing we were talking about before we came on the air is this is the first year they're 2A in the postseason in track and field. Their sectional is at Princeton, so it'll be interesting to see what they do in a 2A sectional. I know the 1A schools around here probably very excited that they are.
Well,
that sectional is opened up where someone else can win it finally, maybe.
And that's like the Monmouth Roosevelt boys have had such a successful year. They're going to be 2A because they've dominated a lot of the small school stuff here. And by the way, you were speed reading those results. You can find those results on WRMJ.com. Wait, no, you can't, because there's an update being made to WRMJ.com, and hopefully that solution, there's been an update to the website. Hopefully that is finished by later today, so we can't post any new content there, but you've posted all those results on the WRMJ Studios Facebook page.
Correct.
If you want to
it's
recap
the longest
that.
Facebook post in the storied history of this station.
Well, maybe.
Saying
well,
something.
Wait a minute. But I would put an asterisk next to that because there've been longer posts, but they've been by like in threads by somebody basically commenting on a basically Mercer County Circuit Court crime
right.
story.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yep. Yeah. But okay. Anyway.
All right, so, yeah, congratulations to Todd Volkert and the Girls Track program at Girard. And mentioned Mercer County again winning on the boys' side. We were talking a little bit about it, I think, yesterday. So Mercer County this week will play their final event, right? Final game in the Lincoln Trail Conference.
I believe a week from today, yes.
Will be the final game that Mercer County plays as a member of the Lincoln Trail Conference. And then, of course, we'll flip the new new school calendar next year and a member of the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. Final season of regular, or I should say final week of regular season baseball and softball this week, right? And a big way to end it because there's a key doubleheader on, is it Wednesday?
Yep, basically conference championship doubleheader, Rock Ridge and Girard in softball, both tied now atop the Track West standings, both 7-1 in softball. They play a doubleheader. Their two conference games earlier in the spring were rained out, so they play two games Wednesday at Girard. We'll have both games broadcast, beginning at around 4:15 with the pregame 4:30 first pitch for game one, game two to follow. Looking forward to that. Both of those teams have had very successful years, and that should be a lot of fun. A nice little prelude to postseason play with two really important softball games coming up on Wednesday.
But clearly there's more parity in the area. Mm-hmm. Rock Ridge took a loss this week 6-1 to Morrison,
who they beat 15-0 Monday. And
then Girard, game we broadcast, Ridgewood picks up a win over them. Man, Ridgewood, what are they now, 20? They're undefeated.
No, right? They lost yesterday. They split with Abingdon Avon in a double.
No kidding.
They won 9-0 and then lost 11-9.
All right. Well,
so they lost for the first time yesterday.
So, and the LTC, man, the top half of the LTC softball-wise has been very good.
Yep. Well, especially Ridgewood in West Central. Knoxville's had a very good year, too. The top three or four in the league have been very good this year.
Now, how are Ridgewood and West Central and A-Town divided up in the softball postseason in 1A? Are they in the same sectional
Ridgewood
complex?
Ridgewood would potentially play A-Town in the regional championship if they both get there, and then West Central and Ridgewood wouldn't meet until the sectional championship game.
Oh, boy, that'd be pretty
cool. Because they're both
cool.
Hosting regionals, Ridgewood and West Central.
Where's the 1A sectional at? Do you remember?
Not off the top of my head. I have it right now. I don't have it here, actually. I don't know.
And then as far as the baseball situation goes, well, the one thing I've noticed that it seems like, I'm not going to call them the team of destiny, but the Cardiac Kids have scraped themselves, you know, after some struggles early in the season, all of a sudden they're winning these wild games, and I'm talking about the Rock Ridge baseball team, man.
They got the DeCarroll kid back on the mound. He hurt his shoulder earlier in the season. They weren't sure if he was going to be back, and he is, and has pitched very well since he's returned from injury. You know, they have two really good arms that in the postseason, you know, if you can get kids pitching well, I mean, you can go on a little bit of a run, and I know with those two kids, I think – now, Rock Ridge is a part of the Princeton regional, which also features Girard, who is a heavy, 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 heavy favorite in that regional. But, but Rock Ridge is on the other side, so that there's a path for them to try to get to the regional championship game. And then, you know, in baseball, it's one of those sports where you just, if you can get to the game, you just roll the dice and see what happens.
Well, and to me, what's interesting about that, so, right, Rock Ridge has to play a play-in game. Now, this is all contingent. They have to win.
Right.
But I would assume they would throw their top guy
and
or top guy.
They're playing Princeton, who's a pretty decent team.
Oh, so they play them in the play-in game?
Yep.
And then they would play who?
Bureau Valley.
So, yeah. So, but then the way that works, their pitching would be set up of how the pitch count works. They'd throw their top guys Monday, right? And then they'd have to hopefully win. You know, a lot of cards here in play. They win the semifinals, and then their top guys are back for the championship game. Which baseball's a weird thing, man. And what do they have to say? The stars and the calendar have to align for the team that advances and the team that doesn't advance.
And I think that, especially locally here, as we've learned in the regular season, the Stars have to align for anybody to compete with Sherrard to even stay in the game with them. You know, I mean, they've really been a buzzsaw against basically everybody around. So,
yeah,
I think they really have a chance to do something special here.
Yeah, there's no question about it. They've put together an unbelievable year, and they've played a lot of games, which I think is important when you get to the postseason. And you've said it before, you know, it's interesting because the kind of the weather you deal with early in the baseball and softball seasons, but then kind of when the weather warms up and the postseason rolls in, and you've said it, it's always, to me, baseball and softball postseason are very good.
It's about as good as it gets.
It is.
And
more people turn out for those games. And to me, it just feels like it's not, now, I'm careful how I say this, but I think baseball and baseball specifically is really a sport more about kind of getting ready for the postseason than in terms of winning a conference. Now, I'm not saying winning a conference is not important, because it is, but I just think, you know, covering this sport for over 25 years, it's about those teams that basically are playing the best baseball at that time of the year. Because I think it takes a while in the spring for some programs to get rolling in a sport like baseball. Now, softball, a little bit different. If you have the ace pitcher, you're going to be in a good position, because that can overcome a lot of things.
Well, I agree with you, too, because I remember last year in the baseball postseason, Orion had such a great regular season, and they won the Track West last year, and then I know for their first postseason game, they got upset by Riverdale, and Riverdale was playing really well at the end of the season. So, yeah, like you said, baseball is one of those sports where I really feel like, and everything is to an extent, but baseball, I think, more so, it's about, you know, getting hot at the right time, and like we touched on, you know, if you can get good pitching, I mean, that'll keep you in games, and you know, I agree, like, with what you said, the baseball and softball postseason is so fun, and I hate to give him any credit, but Coach Cook, he's right. He says it all the time on our broadcast. You know, he's like, the best thing about baseball and softball is you can't run out the clock. And I agree, you know, the ending of those games is always so great, because you can't. You got to play to the end, where in the other sports, obviously, you know, with no shot clock in basketball yet, you can just kind of hold the ball and pass it around. Football, you can take knees and whatever. But in baseball and softball, you got to get the 21st out. Well, and that's hard to do.
Yeah, and there's no question. I think the other thing, though, that's interesting about baseball over the years, especially when you see the teams that are 500, like they're 15 and 15 or 14 and 14, you're like, well, why are they 14 and 14? Well, because when their ace pitches, they're basically 12 and 2. And when their ace doesn't pitch, they're 2 and 12.
Right.
And that's why I say the weird things happen in baseball. If you face the ace of that staff, and a lot of that is dependent on what the situation is with the schedule of the postseason, and then is there a rainout?
Right.
And there are some of those seasons where teams are 14 and 16 that are getting to the sectional because the regional rained out and their ace got to pitch both of those games and they get to the sectional.
That's the thing, too, where, you know, I haven't looked at what the weather forecast looks like in a couple weeks yet, but yeah, you know, some teams, some schools probably are like, you know, kind of hoping for some games to get rained out so they can line up their pitching better.
That's right.
And then
baseball especially. Yeah. Especially then, if you're the underdog.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. If your ace is pitching and you're one of those teams that's 15 and 15 on the year, but your ace is pitching, you have a chance to stay in there. And that's the interesting thing about the sport of baseball. There's no question about that. I was going to say one other thing, kind of to this is just like completely changing directions. Did you see all the Twitter beef last night about the WNBA stuff?
No.
Well, just about like games weren't available.
Oh, yeah. And I was surprised that the Indiana Fever game wasn't, like, someone didn't pick that up nationally televise it. Because
the
thing, though, with the WNBA, like, I mean, it's growing in popularity exponentially with this year especially, where it's amazing, like, and what's so great to see from my perspective with that is, I mean, when's the last time you've heard anybody say, I'm mad that I can't watch a WNBA preseason game. Exactly. It's amazing that it's to that level already.
By the same token, I'm going to say it's the way they did it last year. It's the way they did it in prior years.
Right.
And nobody said a word about it. Well, because Caitlin Clark, that's the impact she had. But I didn't realize that how much television there has been involved in our lifetime. And to me, it's not a big deal that every game is not televised because old guy here, but every game wasn't televised when I grew up.
Right.
Like, I don't think every 1989 Flying Illini game was televised.
Right.
You know? But last night I saw, like, the Chicago Sky, their game wasn't available on TV. Not even on the WNBA, whatever package it is on the app. They didn't stream it.
Which Chicago TV station carries their games in the regular season? Do they do local broadcasts for the WNBA?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a situation like a Bally Sports or sports whatever.
Anyway, that's kind of
the beaten path, I suppose.
Yeah.
I brought that up because I thought that was... But it's only $35 to get the whole season package.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I wanted to bring that up so people were mad about that. All right, what else is there to talk about?
Well, we can quickly just kind of run through
what
the
schedule.
Postseason brackets look like. So we'll start in baseball because that's what we were talking a lot about. So most of the local teams are going to the Princeton Regional. So Sherrard, the top seed there, they get a bye into the semifinals. So does Bureau Valley, who was seeded fourth in the subsectional. Mercer County on Monday, May 13th, opens the baseball postseason at Monmouth-Roseville in a regional quarterfinal game. That will be a WRMJ broadcast. Hopefully I'm bumping elbows with Sean Temple during that game.
I probably will be.
And then the winner of that game advances to play Sherrard. The winner of Rock Ridge and Princeton, which is also played on Monday, May 13th, advances to play Bureau Valley. The other local I use in quotes, I guess, regional site is in Spring Valley, hosted by Hall. Only one quarterfinal game, Orion and Knoxville. The winner plays into IVC. And then the other semifinal is Hall against Kewaunee. Baseball sectional is
Can I back up and add something? So if Princeton would play Bureau Valley, potentially, if they would be... If they have
they
to win.
They beat Rock Ridge, yes.
So I'm guessing Princeton's going to have to take a forfeit.
Yeah.
Because didn't they say they were never going to play Bureau Valley
but
ever
it's
again?
It's not next school year.
Oh,
yet.
Okay. But I'm just like, oh, well, that to me would
them
then.
And Morrison,
now, I'm
going
to root for the I want the Rockets to win. But, man, that would be an intriguing matchup there with, like, the...
The bad blood, yeah.
Well, the you know, heaven forbid the kids get to play. It's all about the administration or the school board saying, we're never going to let these kids play against one another, despite them living 6 miles apart from one another. But whatever.
So the baseball sectionals in Chillicothe, Super Sectional, Geneseo, State Tournament at Dozier Park in Peoria, the home of the Peoria Chiefs. The softball postseason pairings look like this. Rock Ridge hosts a regional... the Rockets, the top seed in the subsectional, they get a bye into the semifinals where they will await the winner of Alleman and Monmouth-Roseville. That gets underway Monday, May 13th as well. The other regional semifinal at Rock Ridge is Mercer County playing the Brimfield-Elmwood Co-op in the semifinals. The other local regional in softball hosted by Riverdale. Sherrard, the top seed in that regional, they get a bye into the semifinals. They'll play the winner of Kewaunee and Orion.
That's the card table regional.
In the semis, yeah, they don't. We got to bring our own table. Had to do that in Brimfield last year.
Excuse me, that's the John Hoshite card table.
Yeah, I know. Last year it was the WRMJ card table. Now it's the John Hoshite. We probably owe him some money for that. And then and the chairs, too. And then the other semifinal there is Knoxville against Riverdale. So I think the softball regionals this year, probably a little bit more intriguing than they have been in years past, because like we talk about with Rock Ridge in the past, it was, you just knew no one was going to beat them. This year, you know, I think there's more question about the competition level, and okay, you know, I think Rock Ridge, you know, I don't think they're like, they're a favorite without a doubt, but I don't think it's like a 100% guarantee like it's been in years past that they're regional champions already, right?
Oh, I would agree 100% because I think specifically in the sport of softball with overlap of all these kids that play travel ball, they look at those scores and say, wait, what happened? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people said, wait, is that 6-1 final after they won 15 to nothing? But to me, it always, you know, that's why they're always going to be the favorite. Yep. You always got to, if you want to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. And if they give the ball to the kid that wears, is it number seven?
Number seven.
Yep. Then you have to try and beat her in postseason, and nobody's ever beat her in postseason.
Right.
So, I mean, they have that advantage moving forward.
And then softball, the rest of the postseason trail. Sectional is at the Louisville Slugger Complex in Peoria. Peoria, Notre Dame, the host of that. The super sectional would be at Eastside Center in East Peoria. And then the state tournament back at the Louisville Slugger Complex in Peoria.
So back up here, let's go. Who Mirko softball play right off the bat?
Brimfield Elmwood.
And then they would play. Hey, Monica Dennison just walked out of Farmer State Bank of Western Illinois, everybody. But all right, they would play Brimfield Elmwood.
And then Rock Ridge.
And then Rock Ridge. And then the Mercer County baseball team, what's their situation then?
It would play into Sherrard if they beat Monmouth Roseville. So.
Yeah, they got.
Did not get a very friendly draw. They're playing the best softball team and the best baseball team in the semifinals.
Now, the Mercer County softball team They won the title in the One Lincoln Trail Conference
LTC
division.
LTC West. They shared it, I believe.
But there is no divisions for softball.
No.
Now, why is that?
I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm not the commissioner of the Lincoln Trail Conference.
Can Dustin Murray explain that to me?
I need to ask him that. I don't know. I don't know why.
So are they
might be have to do with pitching, because there are, I mean.
Are the Lincoln Trail Conference baseball divisions named the Norris Division and the Smythe Division? That's the old National Hockey League.
They're the East and the West.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but they don't do that in softball.
Correct.
I wonder why that is.
Maybe it has to do with pitching.
But,
or if you gotta reschedule a bunch of games, because like I talked about a couple weeks ago, with the softball league being one conference, I think there's 11 teams. That's 20 conference games they have to play. In baseball, you could never get that all in. I mean, you just couldn't.
Oh, they don't play 20 baseball conference games?
Well, they play everybody, but like if games get rained out, sometimes you can't schedule everything. So the cross-division games, they sometimes don't reschedule.
Has that just been a recent change then in the league or not?
I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know.
All right. So, but Mercer County will play their final game next Saturday in the Lincoln Trail Conference, baseball or softball,
right,
whatever it is.
Yep.
All right. All right. What else? Anything else high school sports related?
I don't think so. Just like I said, that doubleheader we have coming up Wednesday should be a lot of fun with Rock Ridge and Sherrard. You should go over if you can get to the Joel Brunsfeld Complex. Two very good teams and programs, and it's always fun when Rock Ridge and Sherrard compete, and should be a lot of fun over
now,
there.
Now, do Rock Ridge and Sherrard have a baseball game left yet or not?
Yeah, they play that day. One game is they've played once already, but they play that day over at Sherrard too.
Now, that to me would be an interesting.
It's a Wednesday though, and I don't know. Like, Sherrard has to win one game to win. They've already clinched a share of the Track West in baseball, and have to win one game to win it outright. I think they have three conference games left. Because Riverdale's in second, they've finished their conference season at 9-3, and Sherrard currently is 9-0, I think, off the top of my head. So,
yeah. So I know this week then, in terms of spring sports, the girls' track sectionals are this week, and you mentioned Sherrard goes to the 2A venue at Princeton. Do you remember who's the 1A girls sectional host? I remember seeing that.
Weathersfield.
So back to, and that's where the LTC meet was at last
Correct.
Night, right? So, and then the following week is the boys track sectional. And again, the Sherrard boys and Monmouth Roseville boys will compete 2A, and then all the other.
They're at Galesburg, and then the local 1A ones are Farmington and Erie.
All right. So, and then, of course, we're right around the corner with the boys and girls state track meets at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. And a week from Monday, the IHSA baseball and softball postseasons begin. And I saw the makeup for the bass fishing sectional locally here was rained out earlier this week, whatever day that was that Thursday?
Yes.
And they've moved that, the local one, to Monday, launching from the New Boston waterfront. And we'll hear from Brandon Livingston and Aaron Hart, who are the co-bass fishing coaches for the Mercer County bass fishing program. And we mentioned Emily Baldwin going to be on the program today. Also, Aaron Hart and Brandon Livingston talking a little bass fishing. And then I heard some of it. You were quoted an interview with with Chip Filler talking about, you know, the Logan Lee impact.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up. And yep. like
and
I said,
we got a chance to talk with Logan last week right before he got drafted. And now we're talking, like Coach Filler, we just talked to him kind of about, you know, coaching Logan, his, you know, transition from playing at Orient to Iowa and now to the NFL, and just kind of, you know, the Orient community, how proud everybody is to see a local kid get drafted to the NFL.
And I was so mad I forgot to ask Logan this, but when it was interesting. So he only got to play one season of the playoffs at Orient, because his sophomore year in week 9, he got in this altercation. They were playing Riverdale, and he got in this skirmish well behind the play, and he got ejected for it. So he didn't get a play in their week 10 playoff game that year. And they had to play the eventual state champs, Deer Creek Mackinac. That was the sophomore year. He played his junior year, and then his senior year, if people may forget, but he ruptured his spleen in one of the games, so he didn't get a play in his senior year playoffs. Only got to play his junior wow. year in the IHSA playoffs. And I tell you, that senior year, Orion was loaded that year, and he didn't get a play.
Hopefully he makes up for it in the NFL
yeah,
playoffs.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Didn't they get to the quarterfinals that year anyway without him?
I can't remember.
I think that was the year they
And came. Then the fact that after that, you know, 41 games in a row, he started to end his career at Iowa is so impressive. But it's always interesting to hear, like, those first-person accounts from coaches when they coach those type of kids. Like in high
yeah.
school, I think.
And
so
also
cool.
crazy with Coach Filler, this fall will be his 16th season as the head coach at Orion.
Yeah, that's amazing. And did he talk a little bit about the kind of the upcoming
football?
Yeah, at
the end I asked him a little bit about, you know, just kind of the conference shifting with Mercer County joining and everything. He talks a little bit about that. Of course, the last time Mercer County and Orion played was a playoff game that Coach Filler couldn't be at because he got ejected in week 9 that
year. He was watching outside up on the hillside
and,
of Fenton
that
Park.
Was a classic great game that Orion won at the end over the Golden Eagles.
Yeah.
I was a part of that Mercer County team that lost that day. Yeah, that was a great game, super fun atmosphere and everything. So exciting to get that local connection back. And then you and Brian Roosh talk about some rule changes to high school basketball. So you guys will talk about that, and then we can maybe talk about it as we close the show later today. So stick around, everybody, for Sportsline. We will hear from Emily Baldwin first. She's our first guest, of course, Mercer County Conference champions in the Lincoln Trail in boys track and field. Won that yesterday over at United. We will take a break, come back and hear from her after this on WRMJ.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Spring is in the air, and it's time to take your workouts outdoors with 6140 Run. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run, the Brooks Glycerin 21, Mizuno Wave Horizon, and Saucony Ride 17. Whether you're hitting the pavement or tackling the trails, these top-of-the-line running shoes will keep you comfortable every step of the way. Don't let anything hold you back this spring. Take the first step at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Joining us on Sportsline this morning is first-year Mercer County boys track and field head coach Emily Baldwin. Golden Eagles last night win a conference championship in the Lincoln Trail Conference, winning the conference meet, scoring 103 points, finishing out of Princeville, who finished second with 85 points. So, Coach Baldwin, just starting off, winning a conference title, what does that mean?
I was very relieved and excited last night. Mick was there. I wanted to continue his legacy of winning those conference titles. And also as our last year in the LTC, I felt like there was more riding on it. So it was a great night.
And just when you look at kind of the performance your team put out there last night, the meet hosted by United, what were some of the biggest keys you think, you know, for the team to win the conference last night?
Well, you know, I simulated the meet and had us on top with 109 points and Princeville second with 89. So we were really close to doing everything that we went into the meet to do. The boys just really, they came through. We did really well across the board.
Well, kind of winding down the season now, I know the sectional a little bit less than 2 weeks away. So as you know, you've kind of progressed through the season, beginning, you know, in the indoor stuff and the tail end of the winter into now the spring. How has the season progressed, do you think, for your group? And just overall, what have you thought of the season, you know, kind of holistically?
Yeah, you come into the season not always knowing what to expect. I knew, you know, we lost some great kids last year, and I wasn't sure how we'd make up those points. But, man, we've got strong distance guys. We've got strong sprinters. Our field events, they're hanging in there. They're not as, you know, we lost Jackson Long, so I don't have a pole vaulter. But yeah, they've done really well. Pretty early on, I saw that we were going to have a really good 4x4, which is really exciting. That is my favorite race by far. The 800 guys have done well, and I've just been so impressed with how many, and not just season records, but lifetime records the guys have gotten this year. It's been pretty awesome.
I think off the air, you mentioned to me 24 kids out for boys track and field this year at Mercer County. So with that, I know you probably need, at a school the size of Mercer County, and need kids competing and scoring in different events to have team-wide mm-hmm. success. So is that something that you've seen this year too? It looks like it from just kind of the results I've looked at through the year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we scored in almost everything last night. I think there were we don't have a 110 hurdler. We scored in almost every single event. I think there were two or three events that we didn't score in. So, and we had some surprise performances. Carlos Pollock, we took a chance on him in the 300 hurdles, and he ended up getting second last night in his second race ever in the hurdles. So, they came to perform. Our 800 guys, Trey and Carlos, went 1-2, 1600, Corbin and Jack went 4-5, both with lifetime PRs. We scored two people in a lot of the events, and that really helped.
All right, and for you, now this is your first year as the head varsity coach for Mercer County in boys track and field. How has that transition been for you, just kind of taking over the program yourself this year?
You know, Mick trained me really well. He let me help with a lot of the stuff along the way. Every year I kind of got a little more responsibility. And really, I don't think you can learn from anybody better. So I had 11 years working with Mick. So I feel like he really did help me be ready for this. And it's different in ways, but it's not a whole lot different. I would definitely say I felt a lot more pressure and a lot more nervous going into the conference meet last night. I just didn't want to let, the boys down. I didn't want to let Mick down. But yeah, overall, I feel like I've been pretty well prepared.
Yeah. You mentioned there 11 years as an assistant under Mick, and obviously, like you said, a big help there, but just maybe not even just for you, but for the kids too. I mean, the continuity of mm-hmm. you being with the program, I mean, how much has that been a help kind of just transitioning smoothly, I guess, into taking over?
Yeah, I think that has helped. In being the sprint and jump coach, like I was already coaching a majority of the boys. We didn't get a whole lot of brand new faces. We got a few, but so most of them already knew me and were comfortable with, and that's helped a lot. Jason Kenny has done a great job, with the distance crew, and he and I work well together, and the kids enjoy it.
All right, looking forward now, you got the sectional coming up in a couple weeks hosted by Farmington. May 15th, the date for that. Golden Eagles won a sectional title last year in boys track and field. So as you look down the line, what's kind of the expectation going into the sectional here in a couple weeks?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure we're going to win it, but I also certainly wasn't expecting that last year. We have a lot of kids that can make it. Dalen Blazer is 3/100ths off in the 100 for running time. He's run under qualifying time several times in the 200, and he's ranked second. Trey and Carlos have both run under time in the 800. Our 4x1 is ranked second. They've run under time. 4x4 just moved into first place last night. And we were running 5 seconds under qualifying time, and the 4x8 is right there. I have no doubt that they can make it, and long jump as well with Dalen. So we've got quite a bit that could go, and that's what I'm looking to do. I want to get the best performances and see how many kids we can get down to state.
All right, again, the boys track and field sectional for Mercer County coming up Wednesday, May 15th. That's hosted by Farmington. Golden Eagles win the Lincoln Trail Conference in boys track and field last night, defeating Princeville, who finished second, 103. Mercer County, the score there, 85 for Princeville. Coach Emily Baldwin, congratulations on the conference title, and thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much, Ty.
All right, and I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Jim Taylor on the WRMJ Sportsline. All right, the bass fishing sectional got, I think, rained out. I know United, the official host for Pool 18, which is, of course, between New Boston and Gladstone. They launched from the New Boston riverfront. Aaron Hart and Brandon Livingston, who were involved in the ag education program at Mercer County High School, also serve as coaches on the bass fishing team. So I think I talked to you about this before, Coach Hart. What about the opportunity here to kind of fish at home in the Mississippi River? What does that mean?
Well, it's a great opportunity, and obviously it's a short drive, shorter drive than we've had in a lot of years. But yeah, we're definitely really looking forward to fishing kind of in our home waters. The kids went out and pre-fished on Tuesday. They had a game plan. They were really excited about going. Unfortunately, it got postponed, as you said, till Monday. So we're going to have to wait a little bit longer here to see how things shake out.
And then you basically, right, have a competition to determine who gets to fish in the two boats. So who is that this year? And do you want to kind of explain to our listening audience how that works?
Yeah. So this year, our four fishermen advancing to sectionals are Carter Dale, Bodie Salmon, Andrew Wilkins, and Xander Spangler. And so we've got a tournament system where we go out with the kids once or twice a week. We try to stay to twice a week. And basically, they're allowed to catch up to five fish, which is what we call a bag. And we'll take the length measurements of those fish and convert that to weight. And kids with the most weight at the end of the night earn X number of points. And, you know, on down the list, and at the end of the season, the top fishermen with the most amount of points advance to that sectional level.
All right, so let's take a deep dive here into bass fishing strategy. Har, 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 I said deep dive. They're like, man, bad joke. But anyway, so can you, and either of you, Coach Hart or Coach Livingston, can chime in here. Can you kind of compare and contrast the difference? Are there some nuances between pond fishing that a lot of kids are accustomed to, and then comparing that to going into the mighty Mississippi River and fishing?
Well, there's a lot of factors involved there. One, I mean, when we go for our qualification pond fishing, I mean, they're standing on the bank. Now you throw them in a boat. They're up above everything. It's a little bit different. Just field everything. But the river does pose its own challenges. I mean, right now water levels are changing, water temperatures are changing. And it's just obviously a much bigger body of water. So yeah, there's a lot of strategy and experience involved with being successful on the river.
So I would ask you, Brandon Livingston, that when I do a high school basketball broadcast or high school football broadcast, what are the keys to victory? So what do you think the keys are then Monday for, you know, maybe one of these boats or maybe both of these boats getting on to Carlisle Lake in the state bass fishing finals later this month?
I think, you know, a lot of it's going to come down to those fundamentals that are so important in any sport. So, you know, when we're on that river, we know where a lot of those fish should be or are. Through some experience, you know, obviously with some home turf, you know, having fished it before, but also just going out and pre-fishing it. And, you know, if that lure slaps the water pretty hard, you're just going to frighten that bass away. So getting that lure in the water nice and quiet and able to get, you know, a good bite and a good pull on that is going to be crucial in the upcoming, you know, Monday tournament.
All right. So and as we wind down here, and this is the one thing that I think is pretty cool about this. So when you look at what this has become, you know, I've covered the IHSA bass fishing beat since this thing started in 2009 was the first year, right? So I think it's awesome. And you know, it's becoming such a big thing, and a lot of other associations are basically, a lot of other state associations are copying what the IHSA is doing because they've got it right. Now, I know they went from 19 sectional sites now to 25 across the state. But, you know, kind of the legacy here locally is pretty awesome because pre-consolidation, you know, Westmer and Aledo had bass fishing teams starting in 2009, and that's continued, you know, here. This is the 15th year for the bass fishing state series. And the school, you know, Aledo, Westmer, now the consolidated district, they've been entered every year. So how cool do you think that is?
I think it's really cool to be, you know, to say that we've been in it since the inception. And I've told you in numerous interviews before, you know, the fact that, you know, I had a lot of kids talking about it that year in class, and Mr. Dennison at the time was instrumental in helping us get that started here. And he was in full support as soon as I went to him as athletic director and talked to him about it. He's like, yep, let's do it. So also, you know, Mr. Swank was down at Westmer at that time, and he was on the advisory committee that helped put together a lot of these rules and get this sport started in the state. So it's really cool to say that we've been in it since inception.
All right. Again, Brandon, who are the four kids again fishing Monday then for the Eagles?
That's Xander Spangler, Andrew Wilkins, Bodie Solomon, and Carter Dale.
And all right, we say it in the Illinois High School Association, the future fish is here, and good luck to those youngsters, and good luck to Coach Livingston and Coach Aaron Hart. You're listening to WRMJ.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, 6140 Run has a great selection of Hey Dude shoes. And here's the kicker. You can buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get the second pair 30% off. Hey Dude shoes are the perfect combination of comfort and trendiness. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude shoes.
building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
And this is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. The talk of the area is Orion High School football this week, of course, as Orion graduate Logan Lee drafted last Saturday in the sixth round of the NFL draft to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're talking with Orion football coach Chip Filler. So, Coach, I guess as we start with you here, can you kind of just explain your reaction to seeing one of your players' names flashing on the screen on ESPN as an NFL draft pick last weekend?
Well, it was probably a feeling like I have, you know, never really experienced. It was a lot like having your kids being born for the first time, you know, seeing that name come flying across. I was actually with my son and then one of my assistants, Kramer Mattson, and Kramer actually is Logan's cousin. So we were all at my house kind of watching it. And then we were actually talking about something else and the name came across and I saw it and I went nuts right away. And then, then the whole room kind of went nuts. And, you know, I think the three of us probably sat there speechless for about 2-3 minutes. And I got to be honest, it took me probably a good 24 hours before I stopped shaking and, you know, just the goosebumps kind of let go. Cause it's a pretty surreal deal to see one of your athletes and one of the guys that you spent a lot of time with living out his dream and what an amazing dream it is, you know? So, I guess maybe, I don't know, I probably have not described it as well as I probably should have right there, but that's from the heart.
And I know you got the chance to spend some time with Logan on Saturday too. So can you just kind of walk us through what the timeline for, I guess, you and him too looked like on Saturday?
Well, so I'll just be, you know, he wanted to keep everything real, real private. Didn't want to be around anybody. And if you know Logan, you know, that's him. He didn't want to have a big to do or anything. So he had a party at 5 o'clock out in the outskirts of Davenport at a friend's house of his. Again, didn't want to be around just everybody. Wanted to keep everything pretty close knit. At 8 o'clock, he called me in the morning, asked me if he could work out. I said, yeah, you know, I'll get you in the weight room. Asked him if you want me to work out with you, and he said, no, I want to be by myself, you know, which I understand that he with the nerves and stuff. But so then he went home, spent the time in the draft with his wife and I think his folks and her folks, and it was just very, again, secluded. At 5 o'clock, again, we went out to that spot, and he kind of just greeted everybody as they came up, and, you know, all of his classmates, all of his teammates that played at Oregon, really cool deal. They all came in Steeler uniforms for him. So, you know, got a Hines Ward jersey and a Mel Blunt jersey, walking around, and, you know, kind of a little backstory behind that, but it was really cool to see them. I don't know if I should share this or not, but he'll probably be upset with me, but I'm gonna, and this will pretty much basis what a great person he actually is. He greets us as we all walk in. He pulls me aside and he says, hey, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, is everything okay? He's like, I just got to talk to you. So pulls me aside. He says, this is the best day of my life, coach. And I'm like, well, hell yeah, it's the best day of your life. You just got drafted to your favorite team. He goes, nope, I'm going to be a dad. And I thought, oh my God, this kid has everything in perspective. So it was just a lot of great things going on in his life right now.
Yeah, that's an awesome story, Coach Filler. And I loved your post on social media Saturday, too, where you said, you know, dreams come true. And I know Logan was a Steelers fan growing up. And just can you kind of speak to, I mean, Orion High School, what enrollment, around 300, 350 kids, somewhere in there. To have a kid come from Orion and get drafted to his childhood favorite NFL team, I mean, it's hard to even imagine that that's a reality, right?
Oh, it's just what a perfect story. I mean, I guess the only other thing that would have been better if he would have been the very first pick for the Steelers. But we had talked that night, and, you know, I think he was a little bit kind of, and I was too, a little bit disappointed. We he kind of fell to the sixth round. I really thought that he would slide into the third, and then the fourth, you know, came. And, then, you know, I guess we were all getting kind of a little bit nervous. I wasn't nervous that he could draft it. I was just like, where was it going to be? Actually, Kramer said to me before the pick came in, he said, like, I have a feeling about Pittsburgh, but I have the feeling of Pittsburgh at 190 or 195 or whatever it was. And then I said, well, they're on the clock right now, so, you know, maybe we're up 20 spots. And then sure enough, he got picked. But when you think about it, like, you don't think about people going to the NFL. Like, every kid, that's their dream. Hell, I want to play in the NFL. Hell, that was my dream. You know, probably, Ty, at some point in your life, that was your dream to play in the NFL. But it started to become a reality for me, at least with him, with Iowa, and then how well he was doing at Iowa, and then talking to those guys from Iowa, and they're like, Coach, he is an NFL dude. He is an NFL guy. And I'm like, God, is this really going to happen? And then the way his last 2 years went, and then he stayed injury free. And, you know, that was always the big key, and to me anyway. And then all of a sudden, just, man, just the combine, how he blew up, the all-star game that he had was so tremendous. I mean, it was just all the stars just aligned in the right way, you know, and good things happen to great people. And I don't know if there's a better person than Logan Lee in this world. As surprising as it is, it's really not as surprising considering that this is how it should have happened for him.
Right. And you talk about kind of how hard it is to get to the NFL, right? How so many people have that dream. And I know it's probably less than 1% of kids who play high school football end up playing professionally in the NFL. So, you know, you look back at your time coaching Logan, and I know it's probably really hard to tell at that age, but was there a certain point where, you know, maybe it clicked for you where you're like, yeah, this kid, we have something really, really special with Logan Lee?
Well, it's day one. Day one when you meet him, even when he came in as a freshman at 14 or at 15 years old, you could just tell there was a little bit something different about him. You know, he was a hard worker. He was a sponge. He was mature beyond his age. I think if you ever talked to Coach Diamond raves about how well he could speak to an adult like he was an adult at such a young, at a young age. And he's very right, very articulate in that regard. But anything you asked him to do, he did. You know, he goes all the way back to when he was like 10 or 12, when his dad bet him $100 that he couldn't stop drinking pop. And I don't know that he's ever drank pop ever since then. And he's at, you know, 24 years old or 22, 23 years old right now. I mean, his discipline outmatches everybody else's. The way he handled himself throughout the whole tour, throughout the whole recruiting process at 16 years old, and the world is at your oyster, you know. I mean, like, some of these big FBS schools, Michigan, Iowa, people of merit are wanting you to play. He could have been cocky. He could have been arrogant. He could have been whatever. He never was. He just worked harder as the next thing happened to him. The next offer, I got to work harder. I really want to make, sure. And I remember him telling me this, he goes, I'm a 3-star athlete. And I said, that's perfect. That's where I want you, because I don't care about that. I want to be a 4-star. I want to be 5-star because of Iowa. They took a chance on me. I want to make sure that they know that I'm going to be the very best that I can be going into Iowa City. And that's just how he is. And I think that's going to be the same way in Pittsburgh.
And when I talk with coaches, I know a lot of the times what they say is that, you know, coaching at the end of the day, when you look at, like, the point of it, right, the overall point isn't necessarily the wins and losses. They say, you know, the favorite part of their job is the relationships that they get to build, you know, with the kids they coach, their families, and everything. Now, you, when you coached Logan Lee, you won a lot of games, of course, but I'm sure that, you know, seeing him, like, realize his personal dream is something that means a lot more than probably any win or loss on the football field could mean for you as a head coach. Am I right in assuming that?
Oh, absolutely. So if you ask me during the season, probably a different answer. But when you have a chance, in retrospect, absolutely. you know, the greatest thing that you can ever do, and you know, it's probably like the father in me in saying this, is to watch your kids or your players live out their dreams or be successful, do something with their lives that they've chased for so long. And just to know that, like, hey, you know, I put my mind to it, I can get it done. I know the NFL, you know, there's a lot of variables in that, but I have guys all over like that. And that means the world to me. He's an NFL dude. That's what he wanted to live his dream out. And man, that's great. But I also have a kid that played, that wanted to go be a part of the Chicago Cubs. He went to Notre Dame, and he could have been playing football at Monmouth. He decided to go to Notre Dame because that was his grandpa's dream, and they had this together. He graduated with an accounting degree or a finance degree from Notre Dame. He went and worked in the front office of the Chicago Cubs. He has a world championship ring from the Cubs when they won the World Series. I have another guy that wanted to be a musician. He's down on Music Row right now playing for all these bands and doing all this thing, just living out that rock star lifestyle down in Nashville. And that was his dream, and he makes good money doing it. Like, any of that stuff. There's countless stories that, you know, I know we're talking about Logan, but I get excited talking about that because it is something that's cool to me to watch your kids or your players live out what they wanted to do their whole life.
You've been the head coach at Orion for 15 years now, coming into the 16th season in the fall of 2024. And I think, you know, too, when you look at this journey that Logan's been on, a lot of the stuff that I've loved to see is when you've, you know, went on visits with him to Iowa or whatever, and you'd have your son with you when he was like, you know, 10, 11 years old or whatever. And getting to have Cale kind of grow up around that too, where he's probably got to experience some really cool things because of, you know, Logan and your relationship with him. So for you, I guess, speaking for Cale, and he's probably like, oh God, don't let my dad speak for me on the radio. But how cool has that been for him too, getting to be around that growing up?
Well, first off, I could never ask. I tell people all the time that this is the best parenting I ever did, was when I got to go on these tours and Mitch and Susan, and those are his parents, and Logan allowed him to go with me to go on these tours, because he got to see firsthand how to treat people. I mean, if you're ever around Logan, if you're ever around Mitch and Susan, they treat people like, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what it is, you know, it's always please and thank you, holding the doors. I mean, there are so many things that maybe I took for granted to teach my son as a young father, but he got to see it firsthand with Logan, and he got to see firsthand with Mitch on how they handled each other, and it blossomed our relationship. And you know, it just meant the world to me. I mean, with them, I thank them all the time that I could never have done this, or my wife and I could never have done this, raised our kids that way without that influence. And you know, as far as being, you know, seeing all this stuff, I mean, he's got a great, Cale has a great relationship with Coach Ferentz because of some things that have happened, but I mean, it's pretty cool to see it in that way. In that regard, he's been around, got to be around Jim Harbaugh. I mean, so he's not real starstruck about all this other stuff. You know, just seeing these people, and I think that helps him on the football field. And I think it helps him deal with people in general. But yeah, if he didn't get that experience, if we didn't have that, and that's something that, you know, I think as a father, you try to give out to your kids, but I'll be forever grateful to the Lee family and just everything they did for him and are still doing for him.
Coach Filler, of course, very proud of Logan Lee. I know Orion High School, the school district, the community too, very proud this week with Logan getting drafted. So can you kind of just speak a little bit about what the overall feeling like in the community is, seeing a kid that grew up in, you know, small town Orion, Illinois, getting drafted to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, I didn't think Orion would be as big as Hawkeye-based fan base, but it changed in the last 4 years. And in the last few days, I've never seen so many Pittsburgh Steelers fans jump out of the woodwork. You know, and quite frankly, I'm one of them. You know, I joke people all the time. Now I get to yell at Justin Fields again. But he's now on a team, another team that I have to cheer for. It's been really good. I mean, I was at dinner last night, and I had a guy come up to me and just wanted to talk about Logan, and you know, like, oh, how great it was for our community. Not only this guy ever went to football games or whatever, but he was just like just enamored about how proud he was being from Orion, that this kid is kind of, again, living out his dream and on the grandest stage, you know, in the NFL. So I think, I don't want to speak for all of Orion, but I know that they are very, very proud, and we could never find somebody better to represent Orion than Logan Lee.
All right, so we're recording this interview with Coach Filler on Tuesday, April 30th, which means, I don't know if you can believe this or not, Coach Filler, but 4 months from tonight's week one of the 2024 high school football season on Friday, August 30th. So I'm not going to let you leave without talking a little bit about the 2024 season coming up. So I know in the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, it'll look a little bit different with Mercer County joining Bureau Valley and Morrison leaving the league. So I guess for you, you know, I know in the Mercer County sphere, I think a lot of people excited to join the track to get some of those local rivalries and games back with Rock Ridge, Orion, Sherrard, and Monmouth Roseau. So for you, are you excited to see Mercer County join the track and get them on the schedule every year?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. The one thing I guess the one drawback of having them this year is they have to come to Orion. You know, I love playing at George Pratt. Is it still George Pratt? I don't know.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
All right. I love playing it. And I, you know, admire your sign and the tradition and everything. We're there. You know, the last time we were there, we pulled off an upset in the playoffs. And I know that, you know, some of you guys would probably like to get that one back from us. So, love to be going there. Knowing that Kayla Senior will get to play there, that's pretty exciting to me. But having that tradition back in, you have Monmouth on our schedule, we got Sherrard, we got Rock Ridge, it's like the old Olympic. I know your dad's pretty excited about that. He's
right.
I bet he could wish that McComb or whoever was coming back in too, but maybe in the future. He keeps plugging along every time he wishes that one more team gets added after about 3 or 4 years. So no, and we're optimistic about what we have. You know, our skill guys are coming back, you know, with Kale coming back and the way he ended this season and the work he's put in already. I can't foresee him not having a tremendous year. Again, I guess house spends a lot. The receivers are there. Jake's back. Owen's back. Anthony Clark will be coming off an injury. So, I mean, and he was a starter as a freshman. So, skill-wise, we're pretty excited about where we are. We got to figure out how to tackle and stop people on defense. I don't think that's a misnomer with us, and hopefully we'll do that. We're going to be young up front offensive line-wise, but we feel like we're going to be pretty athletic. So, you know, we got to stay injury-free, and our numbers are not going to be great. They're going to be really low, probably lowest they've been. For whatever reason, football has become a very difficult sport and difficult sport to recruit, but I think a successful year will kind of help us, and I think that's kind of what we're looking for.
All right, looking forward to the fall of 2024 with the Orion Chargers, and as Coach Filler said, a lot of new Steelers fans in Orion. I think a lot of new Steelers fans in the WRMJ listening area too. So cool that Logan Lee able to get drafted last week, and Coach Filler, thanks a lot for taking some time to talk with us today.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, anytime that you want to talk, Ty, anytime you just want to talk about Logan Lee, you know, I can spend about an hour telling how great that kid is.
All right, Coach Hiller, thanks a lot. And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Spring is in the air, and it's time to take your workouts outdoors with 6140 Run. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run, the Brooks Glycerin 21, Mizuno Wave Horizon, and Saucony Ride 17. Whether you're hitting the pavement or tackling the trails, these top-of-the-line running shoes will keep you comfortable every step of the way. Don't let anything hold you back this spring. Take the first step at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. And a lot to talk about today, including some rules changes coming to high school basketball in Illinois. And, Jim, we were working off the air to try to decipher some of these new rules.
Well, the information is from the National Federation of State High School Associations, so this is going to, I guess, put the burden on our officiating friends in both boys and girls high school basketball. What do you think about flopping? I know that's a thing collegiately, that rule now in play, and now at the high school level beginning next basketball season, flopping is going to be a rule that is assessed initially. It is a team warning. The second time you do it, it results in a technical foul. One of the great things here, I want to read the specific line from the National Federation of State High School Association press release, all right? It says, faking being fouled is defined in Rule 4491 as when a player simulates being fouled, or this is my favorite part of it, or makes theatrical or exaggerated movements when there is no illegal contact. Examples include, but are not limited to, embellishing the impact of incidental contact on block charge plays or field goal attempts, using a head bob to simulate illegal contact, and using any tactic to create an opinion of being fouled to gain an advantage, end of quote. So there's the official verbiage from the National Federation of State High School Associations, but we've seen this at the collegiate level, and to be quite honest, I see it happening a lot at the high school level, but the only difference is, you know, that you don't have the video replay at local high school gyms to look at some of this stuff. So again, that's going to put the onus on our officials that I think are already in a tough spot to begin with, right?
Right, and they have to see it, as you just mentioned, kind of in game speed. I mean, they have to watch it happen once and decide. And I was thinking about that when you sent me these notes, and I was saying to myself, I've seen it happen, but I can't remember the last time it had a major impact on the game. And when we're broadcasting, a lot of times we just kind of mention it, you know, maybe he's part of the drama club as well, you know, or that kind of thing. But I kind of think it's one of those situations where it did become pretty prevalent in college. I'm not so sure in high school, and maybe they're just trying to be proactive with the rule.
And I think the one good thing, though, from the high school standpoint is it's a warning initially. So you don't get assessed the technical until it happens a second time. So I think that's important. But then I thought another interesting thing, and you brought this up, there are a number of rule changes going into effect next high school basketball season. This one is the most significant one. But you were able to kind of pick out another rule change that I think there needs to be some clarification on. So do you want to bring that up to the listening audience?
Yeah, it's Rule 1-19. It clarifies that the use of electronic devices during the game must be limited to recording and tracking stats, reviewing plays, or similar contest-related functions. The use of electronic devices for voice or video recording is prohibited.
All right. I need a clarification on that. We were talking a little bit off the air. Does that mean you can't, if you're a coach and you're there to watch, you're a coach from another school and you're there to watch two teams play, you can't record that game? That's one of the questions I have, right?
Right, and my question, because I know a couple of situations occurred last season where parents were either with their phone videoing a coach or recording his conversations in the huddle, and I'm not talking about the opposing coach, I'm talking about the coach of their team, maybe trying to get some, you know, incriminating audio from
basically
that person.
Yeah, trying to get ammunition. Yeah, they're unhappy with the coach, so they want to bring him down this way.
Yeah, is that the deal? And I told you off the air, I said one of the officials that had that situation said he felt like you need to talk to the athletic director of the host school, that's where that was. Well, now, I guess, once we find out clarification on this, that'll be another thing the officials will have to kind of keep track of, I guess.
You can see the rules changes at the National Federation of State High School Associations website. He is Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, 6140 Run has a great selection of Hey Dude shoes. And here's the kicker. You can buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get the second pair 30% off. Hey Dude shoes are the perfect combination of comfort and trendiness. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude shoes.
What do we got? Three of these things left?
Three left.
Three
in
double
the 2023-24 school year.
And then we'll start thinking about the 2024-2025 school year. Are you pro-flopping or anti-flopping?
Anti.
So you think they should call that in the high school game? Or
I mean, it's hard. It's a hard thing to administer, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
I like the rule. I think it's used in college games pretty well and the NBA, too, so...
But in the
rules like that are always going to trickle down.
Well, and I agree. But in the college game, is that a reviewable play, the flopping, or that's just called on, I mean, in live action? You can't look at
it. I don't know. I don't remember if it's reviewable.
And that's the thing.
Not,
I have an issue. If it's a reviewable play at college, that's one thing.
Right.
At the high school level, you don't have that. And, of course, these officials have to watch so much. You're going to miss some of that. And that's when the experts in the stands, you know, when the typical, get them off the back.
Yeah.
You know, then they're going to want the flopping call. But the one thing that I will say, at least it's a warning initially.
Yeah. And I think that I like it just because I think that it like cleans up the game a little bit, where you see a lot of kids who, and not just say kids, but like players at whatever level that just they're trying to just get fouled. Like they're not really taking shots that are makeable shots. They're just hoping to get fouled and go to the free throw line. To me, that's not really playing the game, you know, and I think that this will help fix that issue.
You know, and the other thing we were talking off there with Brian, and I mentioned this to you, and then I was talking to Pat Lower, who's an official you know, because I noticed some schools that are getting the new floors. Now, I asked you if Mercer County is doing this, and I don't think they are.
They're not.
But like Orion, when they put in their new floor a couple years ago, they have the restricted area, the semicircle that's underneath the basket. And the restricted area is not a rule at the high school level. It's a rule at the collegiate level. And basically, you're talking about that charging or offensive foul cannot be called in the restricted area if the defensive player is set up.
So basically if you're too far under the basket.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So when you're at that location, you know, the so-called experts that are watching, it's like, well, you can't, you know, the high school official can call that an offensive foul.
Right.
And that he's okay with it because it's not a rule in the high school game. So I think there's some confusion when you see those floors, and a lot of those floors that are being redone, you're seeing them adding the restricted area that's not a high school rule. And I'm surprised that hasn't been a rule yet at the high school level, because the way things trickle down. And the other thing, and I didn't realize that it's apparently a collegiate rule for, and now it's a high school rule for those associations that have shot clock. And I didn't realize this, but so if the shot clock comes into play and you're dribbling the ball and closely guarded for pre-shot clock, if you're guarded for 5 seconds, that's a 5 second call. But with the shot clock, that's not a rule anymore. You have to be holding the ball instead of dribbling the ball. And that's another weird interpretation that officials have to be able to make
that
call.
The way that they word it, though, is they have the option to make that a rule. It doesn't have to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll see what happens if there's more direction with the IHSA at its June board meeting regarding implementation of a shot clock, because they're going to make the announcement for the IHSA state tournament basketball schedule moving forward. You know, still waiting for the formal announcement of when the shot clock's coming to the state.
Right, because Kirk Gibson told us on Sportsline back in March that they're targeting 2026-27 for the year where it's fully implemented, regular season, state series, everything.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they stick to that timeline or if they shift from that. But
well, and I hope they make the official announcement here, you know, post-haste.
Right, you got to. Yeah, right.
So, all right. Wednesday doubleheader?
Yeah, are you going to go?
I don't know.
You should go. It'll
is Coach Cook going?
He'll be there.
By the way, whoever led Coach Cook to have the woe is me post, you know, if somebody's complaining about PA stuff, stop it.
I called him
because
yesterday.
You ain't getting paid.
Right.
You know, anybody that complains about that stuff, just freaking stop it. It's stupid.
I called him yesterday. He was in Winthrop Harbor with his grandkids.
Yeah, I called him too. I was talking to him a little bit about.
And you know, also, like, of everywhere I've went this year, the only place that has PA for both baseball and softball is Rock Ridge. Nobody else has a PA guy or girl.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that we've been at a lot of different places.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, and I know Coach Cook feels bad when he ever has to miss. You know, he takes it personally.
Yeah, he does.
And he, you know, if you get static, and I'm just saying, say it's just the exception and not the rule.
Right. I think everybody loves Coach
but there's
Cook.
Just a few people that can ruin it for for everybody. You know. So anyway.
So I'm gonna complain about him on the air about how bad of a job he's doing as the color commentator.
Then I'll have like a mea culpa post on there.
No, he's great. I can't wait to see him Wednesday. And that, like I said, it's Gerard Rock Ridge will be great Wednesday in softball with a lot on the line.
Well, and then I think, too, it's nice Wednesday. You know, you're going to keep tabs on the Rock Ridge Gerard baseball game, too, which I think it'll be interesting to see if the Rockets, you know, maybe they'll throw their ace that day and see what happens.
And then also Wednesday with that softball matchup, I think there is a potential that Rock Ridge and Sherrard could play for a sectional championship in softball, too. They're on separate sides where they wouldn't be until the sectional championship. So that'd be pretty cool if that happened, too. It'd be too bad, though, if Rock Ridge played Sherrard and they had to go all the way to Peoria to play that game, though.
Yeah, that would be. Well, I just got to, could move it to the Apollo Diamond.
Yeah.
And then somebody was telling me, well, no, not somebody, but Spanky's Meat Wagon was telling me, now, what summer shootout is Sherrard
Romeoville,
and they're like what they're elite level programs that are
it
going
is normally they split it into, you know, whatever divisions, but yeah, normally it's pretty high level stuff.
Is that a June event, I'm assuming?
Probably.
All right, well,
we'll have to talk to Alex Johnson about that at some point.
Well, yeah, you're talking about summer workouts are what, 4 weeks away,
right?
I mean, that's so weird, the summer workouts. And then we still got to figure out our special summer edition sports line.
Yeah, and then football like broadcast. We got those about lined up already, which should be good.
So what are the week one games?
Orion and Hall, Mercer County, Monmouth, Roseville, Sherrard, Rock Ridge.
Oh, Sherrard, Rock Ridge in week one? Holy smokes. Where's that game at?
It's at Sherrard.
All right. That'll be a fun day, man.
Yep.
All Friday night games?
As of now, every team we cover is playing only on Fridays all season.
No kidding.
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, we thank Chip Filler. We thank Brian Roush, Emily Baldwin, the champions of the Lincoln Drill Conference boys track meet, and the future fish is here. Boy, Aaron Hart, he loves talking about bass fishing. I'm glad he brought in Brandon Livingston as well, as they'll fish Monday, launching off the New Boston Riverfront and fishing in Pool 18. So that'll do it. Anything else you need? All right. By the way, though, going to go see Cade Sharp pitch here in about an hour. So he's graduating.
Like 40 minutes, 11.
Yeah, first good
pick,
for
I
him.
Moved
man.
Up had a
good
from career. Noon to 11 at Monmouth College. I don't know who they're playing. I haven't looked too far.
But
into
they give
I'm
him
going to root on the starting, the right-handed starting pitcher.
It was probably warming up in the bullpen right now for an 11.
From Alito, Illinois.
So, and everybody loves.
Number 33.
Well, I'm saying everybody loves Cade Sharp. So Cade, if you're not doing anything today, head on down to Monmouth College, a beautiful campus. And actually, that field is located right off of U.S. Route 34. And go see Cade Sharp pitch today.
We can all carpool.
Yeah. All right, for Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, you're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ.
Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0-RUN in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more, and by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.